Welcome to Energy Unleashed.
Hello and welcome everyone back to another Energy Unleashed podcast. My name is Suzanne Worthley. I'm an energy practitioner here along with my co-host, Kim Hess.
Hello.
Hey, Kim.
Hello.
This is about energy sessions that I have with my clients. I kind of see patterns as a practitioner. And when I see patterns, we will bring them forward into a podcast so that I can kind of look at it from a practitioner standpoint and then toss it off to Kim from a bigger perspective where we sort of unleash things, deep dive into it, try to figure out what's going on as far as a pattern out there in the big bad world. And I have been seeing, Kim, this pattern, oh man, in the last couple of weeks. It's been pretty rampant actually since the so-called getting over COVID, which I love, by the way, because I loved when people were going, oh, I just want to get back to normal, which cracked me up as a practitioner.
It's normal.
Right? What is normal? And why would we, by the way, want to get back to it? But I think what I would like to bring forward is these energy sessions that I've been having with clients quite a lot lately are around panic attacks. And I am not approaching this from a medical standpoint. I'm not approaching it from a therapy standpoint. I'm approaching this from a energy standpoint. And so again, take anything that resonates, toss what doesn't, because this is kind of a different perspective in terms of what panic attacks can be. Now, energetically, when I work with a meat and bone version of a body right here in my office in front of me, obviously that's what I'm dealing with. But energetically speaking, it is the aura, the energy fields, the chakras, all of the energy holders that are making a narrative or a blueprint for the reality of that client. And when it comes to a panic attack, there's very energetically specific reasons of things going on. So we have what's called an aura around us. And to be very simplistic about this, it's like a bubble of energy. A lot of people call it a bubble around me or an egg shape around me that holds my consciousness. It holds my fuel. It holds my connection to source energy. It helps maintain it is the actual foundation of my creational reality. And it's individual, and yet we're all one, but it's individual. And this perspective has a actual bubble that goes around my whole, Kim's go like this.
It goes around. Light around my head. It's the yeah. Light. It's not my
yeah. Aura. Yeah. So Kim's got a little aura right now. That's funny. Around her head. But it is literally, it's an egg that goes around our actual body, many, many layers interpenetrating. When our aura is not in great shape, when our aura, which most of us, by the way, doesn't have really great shape to it, because we're not trained in our auras specifically. And when this bubble, I'm just going to use it here because we can see our hands. If my bubble is not intact and I have a huge hole in my bubble, my so-called gasoline is flying out. I'm not fueling this in a balanced way. But more so, if I've got this hole, everything else is flying in. Now, we can have a metaphor of I'm flying down the highway in my car in the middle of a thunderstorm and all my windows are down and I can't figure out why I'm wet, right? I mean, it's like, it's flying in, right? So panic attacks are a lot of times crap flying in that auric field. It's like attacking my field. It's like things are that aren't mine are coming into me and they are throwing me off in my grounding or throwing me off in my entire system. So these auric breaks and tears are number one, are very, very important. And we don't really talk about auric breaks or fields. Now, Kim, let's throw it your way. I mean, when we started working together years ago, you didn't even, I'm not making fun, but you didn't even know what an aura was, right?
I mean, chakra, or I had heard the word chakra. I had no idea what it really meant. I didn't know that energy, my energy, that I need to learn how to work with my own energy. I had no clue. So at being a huge empath, I had holes all over my aura and was carrying the weight of the world around in my fields.
And so for someone that's listening that doesn't know what an empath is, this is a word, by the way, that's getting tossed around a lot these days. I have a new book coming out in April this year called Confident Empath, and it's all on this subject because there's numerous amounts of people walking this planet right now that are empathing. And they don't even know it, or they know it and they think it's really cool, but yet they don't know the ramifications of it. So hence the book. Now, what an empath is different than empathy. So empathy is something that the human body is designed to have. That means I have a heartfelt space and a feel center for your pain, even your joy, but more so your pain, your angst, your journey. And I can feel what you feel. I walk in your shoes. Mm-hmm. An empath, on the other hand, doesn't only walk in your shoes. They steal your shoes. They take your shoes. They make your shoes be my shoes. Your pain is my pain. I now carry your pain, and now I'm sick with your pain, and so on and so on. And mm-hmm. so it isn't always physical. It's emotional, mental, spiritual as well, right? But physical. Yeah. So when we're empathing, we can take on garbage from everywhere, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't have to be just human. It can be from land and spaces. It can be paranormal. It can be off planet. It can be anything. So these panic attacks, when my field is open, again, crap flying in my window, it can be all kinds of different things that then distort what's happening in my matrix or my field. And now my circuitry is all jumbled up and I get spazzy. I'm overloaded. Okay. Let's even add in another additional thing. We have something called the Schumann. You want to tell them what the Schumann is a little bit about?
Oh, Kim? Gosh. The Schumann resonance is a energy, like it's kind of, when you see pictures of it, it's like a wind force that comes around Earth and it changes its frequency and speed of how impactful it is around Earth. So it's usually like what, 7.8 or something like that. It's like in the sevens.
It's a Hertz heartbeat. So it's a heartbeat of the planet. Yep.
Yeah. And it pulsates. So then when it goes up, it can go up over 100. Like I always feel
well
like
over.
My body's just vibrating because it's just like, what's happening inside my energy fields? I don't know what's going on. And you can find that information out online so that you can kind of monitor, wow, I feel really off today. What does it look like for numbers?
And there are sites specifically for Schumann. So it's S-C-H-U-M-A-N-N resonance. And you can find that line and actually learn how to track or monitor that so that you can know that, boy, my body feels like I've had 100 cups of coffee, or I'm woozy, or I'm off, or I'm sleepy, or whatever it is.
And I have sideways, like, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm all crunked up. And so these are other things that we can empath as well. Now, additionally, we have the other end. So that's the magnetic end. We also have the electric end coming in from the solar. So we have CMEs, which are coronal mass injections and solar flares. We have all kinds of information that's flying out of our solar system and our sun into our atmosphere and into our bodies and hitting the earth and colliding. So we're kind of like that sandwich cookie of all kinds of cosmic electric and all kinds of magnetic earth things. And we're stuck right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Again, this will deteriorate and affect my field. And I can empath or pick all of these up. And if I have no context to work with, I think I'm going nuts, right? I just think I'm crazy.
Yeah. Or you think you're getting ill or there's something really wrong with your body. It's like, why do I feel this? It's a weird feeling. And you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have a heart attack, or I'm starting to get anxious because something's wrong with me. Now your heart is racing. And I mean, it's, you can go in this vicious circle of it from your head and what you think we have going on to what's really going on.
So let's bring this further then into the panic attack, because for those of you that have had one, you probably have a specific way that you do them. If you have several or a lot of them, and you'll know your calling card. I myself personally have had only a couple. My first one was because I had way back when didn't know what I was doing energetically, had a paranormal experience where I had a hitchhiker, a very negative dark entity energy attached to my system, and it threw my system into a panic, and it was really terrifying for me, and my body was completely shutting down and squeezing in, and I thought I was going to die. And that was my very first very confusing panic attack years ago when I was very uneducated and unskilled about the paranormal. I had another version or two, maybe two or three times after that, but very short-lived because of the work that I do. I'm aware of what's happening in my energy field. And I'm not saying I'm cooler or better, take what resonates here for information, but this is about finding out how to get to the crux of what's happening, that it is a thought pattern that is coming through. And the moment that I attach an emotion, if I attach the emotion to my thought pattern, it becomes a creational reality trajectory. So if I'm starting to think, oh crap, here it comes, I'm losing it, oh my God, I'm feeling it, this is happening, blah, 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 And then my emotion kicks in. Now I'm really scared. I'm really freaking out. I can feel this and this and this. I'm scared. I'm embarrassed. This has happened before. Oh my God, this is limiting. All of these emotions that we start to say, I'm tiny, I'm small, I'm scared. All of this connection will then make the trajectory forward into the full-blown panic attack. Mm-hmm. So it is the actual allowing into the field, the thought pattern kicks off the belief, and then the emotion catches onto it to like start the trajectory of the actual panic attack. When we get better at navigating our energy, it is very important for us to go deeper at the very beginning of it, the very process of I'm starting to tingle, or I can't breathe, or my heart is racing, or I'm getting dizzy. We all have our calling cards for this. This is the time to actually stop and go into a neutral position as quickly as I can to then disassemble the thought pattern before I put the emotion to it. Does that make sense?
It does, but that's tough when you're
trying
to feel the symptoms of everything. And
yep, because we start to think I am my body, and I am my body, but I'm mostly my body being driven by my thoughts. So when I get to neutral, there is a trinity that I teach in everything that I do energetically that is important, if you choose, to go back into to disassemble the thought before it becomes attached to the panic emotion. The three things that we have in our DNA process that we come in with as a human experience that are foundational to our thought patterns and beliefs are, am I safe, my self-worth and self-love, and enough. So safe, worth, and love, and enough. That's the trinity of the pattern that usually will then trigger. So let's say I'm out in a social experiment here, and I am starting to panic, and there's too many people in the room, and I can't breathe. Oh my God, I'm starting to do it, right? If I go to neutral before my body spasms out completely and shuts down and I'm immobilized, if I stand in neutral just for a second and I go through that trinity, the first thing I do is, am I safe? Well, my body may not feel safe because it may be really, you know, lots of people. It might be tight in there. It might be claustrophobic. It might be all kinds of things. Am I truly safe? That's what we want to get down to. Am I safe? Yes, I'm still here. I'm alive. I may not feel safe, but technically speaking, am I safe? Can I move? Can I leave the building? Can someone help me? Can I reach out? I mean, it's unlimited, right? Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to know that these triggers of safe, worth, and enough, when I disassemble that thought pattern, almost every time I can undo it before I go bonkers. Mm-hmm. Now, I was with a young man the other day who has a lot of social anxiety. A lot of kids are taking on this label right now because we push this right now. This has, again, escalated post-COVID because people didn't know how to be isolated and then go back out into the so-called world. And so a lot of people's fields and their vibrational frequencies are very disturbed when they get back out into social situations. Hence why a lot of kids are saying social anxiety. So my field does not feel stable when I'm out. This, in this young man's case, would activate a lot of things about his worth. So this is that middle one. I'm not good enough. I'm going to make a fool of myself. Everyone's going to think I'm stupid and silly. I'm not, I can't do things right. People are going to see I'm inept. I have no future because I'm just, you know, a mess, and on the social anxiety hamster wheel is going around and around and around in his head. And he is finding himself becoming more and more isolated. And in this particular young man's case, he had a situation where he was indeed pushing himself to be out in public, and he got so physically sick that he literally actually threw up in a social situation, which then of course mortified him. And now he replays that hamster wheel over and over again, that I can't go out, I might throw up. And so his esophageal tract will shut down. This happens because my solar plexus holds my power, which is right in my rib cage area. My throat holds my truth and ability to express myself. And when these two are in flux or in fight with each other, it shuts down that esophageal tract, which then projects, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've had that.
So this is a young kid. He's in high school and he was mortified. And even though he did it amongst, you know, way younger children, because he was doing some social work outside of the home in that regard, he was still mortified. And I said to him, so you didn't feel safe in your body. and you didn't trust your body. And he said, no, and I still don't. And I said, and you think you're broken and weak, correct? And he's like, that's exactly what I feel. Mm-hmm. Now let's really go to the thought pattern of neutral, because you can do this neutral work at another time also beyond the actual panic attack. You can take the meditative quiet time or journal time to undo this as well. So I encouraged him to sit with it and say, okay, you perceived your body as broken. You perceived your body as weak, as not good enough. And I said, and isn't it fascinating that your body was self-healing? Your body itself was trying to reset and actually reset and open up and move correctly because it was off, right? It wasn't aligned. And yet we bash our human vehicle for not being good enough, for not being worth, and not being, you know, correct or accepted, or all of these words that we play around with, when in reality, the human body is a miracle that knows how to self-heal, how to self-set, if we get the programming behind it out of the way. Does that make sense that there's programming pushing that through?
Think about not only that situation that he was in, but all of the social media influences that all these children and high schoolers and everyone are going through that we never had to deal with. Like, that's a whole nother level of what you're supposed to be in life, how your body should be, how you should act, what you should wear. All those things are just huge influences.
I think we had it to some extent, but now it's exacerbated beyond measure. Right. Level. I mean, I think everybody has it to some extent, and each generation has it in a bigger and more difficult way. And like you said, this one's kind of unlimited. At the very same time, and I'm going to try to present this carefully without sounding like judgmental, and I think what's difficult is a lot of kids in that age group wear the badge of social anxiety and empath as a badge to be looked at, like, hey, this is who I am and what I am. And not understanding that that badge is not very healthy for their field. You know, when I spew out, I'm an empath, because everyone throws that around. That's actually one of the reasons I wrote the book, is to understand throwing around I'm an empath actually is not something to be proud of unless you know how to work through that. Empathing is a very technically, energetically tricky thing. And empath and social anxiety has become kind of a buzzword for that generation of, I have social anxiety. And then sadly, we throw them on Western medicines, which in some cases is great, in other cases isn't. Yeah, and we rely on outside sources to so-called help us be accepted versus going inward and actually working on the belief, core belief, the belief system, the core belief that's underlying, the essence of not safe, not enough, and not worth. These are the actual core energetic issues that are the blueprint for what's happening for the response in the body, and then understanding that auric field and the self-responsibility of keeping that auric field intact so that my gasoline is mine. And we're taught in society to go give everybody our gasoline and take everybody else's gasoline to make sure I'm fabulous and wonderful, instead of knowing that this is an energy thing. It's hard, it's right?
Hard. And it really is difficult to watch. Or I've had, you know, a couple of my children go through anxiety at different points in time. And it's really tough as a mother. But then I've had my own situations where when you look at the relationship of how, like when I, in my situation got there, and then how my children got there, it's like that neutral, if you knew how to do that, is so important. The first symptoms, it's like, wait a minute, that's not mine. This isn't right. My truth. I'm feeling this from a lot of other people around me, and it doesn't gel with what I believe is true. So I, understanding how to do that is really, really physically and mentally, emotionally important.
And it is not what we teach our kids yet. And this is, again, why we bring these forward on podcasts and in books, to say this needs to change as a culture, because we're still teaching our children. I had a college kid yesterday who is in the same situation of panic attacking, and he's panic attacking on the I'm not enough anchor. I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. He's already at a very young age, 21 years old, worrying about I'm not doing enough to prove my worth, especially to my parents. and I'm not doing enough to keep the boat from rocking, and I'm not doing enough to da 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 da. And it was fascinating to me to sit there and see how programmed a 21-year-old was already from just family belief systems, and never had occurred to him ever that maybe that's all not necessarily his truth. And the light bulb going on in this young man's head was just fascinating to watch again, because I don't fix anybody. I just offer a different perspective. And if it aligns, it clicks. And when it clicks, you can feel, and I love that. A lot of them will just go, and they'll sit back in the chair and it's like, oh my God. And the hair on my arms just went up and the tingles just went through. That's your aha moment. That's your truth.
That's like, wait, the gerbil wheel just stopped. I can get off. Yeah. That's great. That's great. I don't have to keep running.
It's always super fun when they're done with their healing session, but their head's really quiet and they don't know, wow, what where's the gerbil? Right. I love that. That's one so of my great. Favorite parts. So this is, I think, something to talk to your children about, or mm-hmm. or yourself, or get some help about. And again, therapy might be a thing, Western medicine might be a thing, but I really suggest and invite people to think about the energetic standpoint of things. Learn about your actual physical aura. Understand that breaking that bubble open and taking everybody else's feel is vampiric. This is not the best way to do it, because as a vampire, you're going to need more and more and more and more and more and more and more because you're stealing. And so when one learns how to close that auric field up, close all the windows in the car, keep our heat in the car, and keep the rain outside, then we don't have that panic going on. Right. If indeed that panic is triggered, it's important at the time, in the very moment, to find neutral, or if that doesn't work for you, mm-hmm. spend quiet, meditative, spiritual time outside of it to then break down that belief system again and disassemble it, dismember it down to that trinity of, I truly am safe. I'm safe because I'm just here. You know, I am safe. Truly, I'm safe because I'm present. I'm here. That's the bottom line. Do I have worth? Yes, I have worth. I'm a vehicle of source. It's not about God on a cloud making him or, you know I'm good to get into a fancy place. That's not what this is. I'm a vehicle of source energy to have an experience down here. How can that not be worth? And then enough is really a mind screw right now, because our controller factions love this one right now. There's not enough toilet paper. There's not enough diesel fuel. There's not enough, you know, fruit. There's not enough baby formula. You got to love all the ones they're throwing right now, right? I mean,
oh my gosh.
It's programming. So when we can know that this is kind of an outside source game, yes, there maybe isn't enough toilet paper, but there's a heck of a lot of different ways that I can take care of that. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, they did it back in the day, right?
Yeah, I mean, come on. So I think that these are things that we can work on in quiet, meditative journaling time. I mean, you're a journaler, you know. You write, you know how cathartic that can be, right?
Oh my gosh. My body and energy can change, you know, within 15 minutes of writing something down. You know,
I think there's something about seeing it on the page, right? I mean, I'm not a writer, so you know, if you see it on the page, that must trigger something for you.
It does trigger something for me. I've always been that way. Like I like to listen and look at the words if I can. So, I think perspectives for me, when it's written down, it also kind of leaves my field when I write it down and put it on the paper. And if it's something really important, I'll actually take that next step and maybe burn it to mm-hmm. release it. Mm-hmm. If it's something that's just really has been sitting there and I didn't know it, go through the process of asking for assistance to move it on and out and back up to the Akashic records.
Right.
And that's something that's kind of newer for me. I didn't always know how to do that either. So it makes a huge difference, because again, you feel lighter as you start to release some of these things and let them go. Your actual being becomes much lighter and brighter.
Yep. And that's a huge part of my upcoming book. The Confident Empath shows how we empath people, places, like I said, paranormal, spirit, all kinds of things. But then it also teaches us what that is, what that energetic file is, and how to get it out of the system and back up to what you said, the Akash, meaning the God source, get it out. And it is indeed a different kind of prayer. Mm-hmm. It's a different way to release it with command from myself, instead of handing my troubles off to a floating man in the sky it's important for me to know that that sky, that whole thing, that whole entire cosmos, that whole everything down here, all of it is me. Mm-hmm. I'm in this. Mm-hmm. This is me. And so I get to release it on behalf of myself to a higher version of myself. And this is important so that this lower version down here can be clear and not panicked and right. always in fight or flight. It's very important to not be in fight or flight all of the time. So to wind this down just a little, some of the other next steps that I give these people that are clients when they're having these panic attack situations is to have baby triumphs, small accomplishments. Mm-hmm. One of these young men that I was speaking to said, I can't even go for a walk. I used to do a 3-mile walk and I get about, you know, a block and a half away and I start to think, oh my God, I'm going to freak out. I have to get back home where I'm safe. And I say, okay, this is when we can play with that thought pattern and break it down. As I'm walking, that thought comes in. Before I attach the panic emotion, I go back already and I say, I am safe. Look around me. I'm safe. There's a great day. There's sunshine. There's a bird. I am safe. And be in the moment of the small triumph. And don't shoot for the 3 miles. Shoot for the block. And then the next day, shoot for the block and a half. And then mm-hmm. the next day, shoot for 2 blocks. And then 2.5 blocks, etc. So that we register the successes in the actual physical form and in the mental field so that my then physical body can follow suit to say, I am safe. I walked 2 blocks yesterday. This is awesome. I can go 2.5. That's not a big deal. And knowing fully, by the way, that if I truly choose to turn around, I'm choosing to turn around. Not that I have to. This right. is a different fuel. I don't have to turn around because I'm broken and everything's falling to pieces and I'm out of control. I'm actually going to choose, if I choose, when I choose, how I choose to handle this. I can choose to walk forward. I can choose to go back, but I'm choosing. So this statement of I choose is really critical to understand that I always am and have been and will be in command, actually, even though my thoughts might take me elsewhere. So baby triumphs are seriously, I think, one of the best steps forward in this kind of a situation, if that makes sense.
Especially in a world where we're so, especially I think the younger generations are used to instantaneous change.
Yep.
And you get that with social media, you get that with like, there's just so many things in their life that are just done, like everything happens instantaneous. This takes a little work and it's yep. and all those baby steps to celebrate, you know, every bit of progress is really important.
Right. And then the very last key, which is critical for all of us for not just panic attacks or anything, is the actual law of attraction. So if no one knows about what the law of attraction is on this call, do yourself a favor and look it up online. There's a million books out there. Esther Hicks and Abraham have been the gurus for eons about this. But basically what I really, really am putting attention towards, I get. What I really, really don't want, I'm also getting because I'm putting that much attention. So if I'm putting so much of the attention towards, I can't, that's what I'm creating. So this is why that gratitude of the things that I can do, even if it's in small quotients, is critical because it shifts that law of attraction and it puts the thought pattern back on track so that the emotions can then go on to the positive side. Versus my subconscious running, like we said, the hamster or gerbil wheel is over here going, I can't. And it's just creating more of the same. So being present with the thought and monitoring that at all times and then paradigm shifting and not bashing myself if I go backwards. You know, again, this young man was so cute. He goes, you know, and I was doing so great and I was doing so great for 2 weeks and then I just fell right back into it. And I said, well, so? And he's like, well, I mean, that's failure. And I said, well, okay, but maybe you just start again. And he couldn't get over the fact that fail was just an opportunity to do it again. And so this is the time to go into fail. What is that belief? Where does that go to safe enough and worth? And so this is just an onion layer and an onion layer. So it's important for us to stay present with the process and not be a judge along the way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't, like you said, it's layers still experiencing right. these things, you know, I it doesn't, but to have that process in place to step back is really, really important. And
well, I just said to you the other day, we were so talking about this, we were also coming to onion layers on things that we are doing, not yeah. necessarily panic attack related, but we were laughing about, are you kidding? We've done this how many times? There's something to be said about another layer that actually means you're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Because if you're only at layer 3, and you didn't have the wherewithal, the strength, the courage, the knowledge, the wisdom to go to layer 8, you're still at 3. So who cares if it's another layer? You're at 9 or 10 or 12. You know, I mean, it just doesn't matter. And yeah. So I think this is, again, why the thought processes and the beliefs attached to them are critical.
And part of that, when we were talking about it the other day, it's, wait, we're making it so complicated. It's so much more simple than we make it.
Right.
It's so much more simple.
And we do this all the time. And I mean, yeah. I do this every single day of my life for a living, plus I'm a human being doing it. And I still have 8 million onion layers. So it's kind of like, get over it. It's part of the journey, right?
It's part of the deal, yeah.
Yeah, you got to have a sense of humor along the way. So hopefully, anything else from you on that subject?
Oh, no, I think this is really important right now because we see it in our everyday lives through family, friends, and it's out there. I mean,
and it's only going to get harder, people. And I don't say that to make this more difficult or be sad. It's going to get harder because the Schumann resonance and the coronal mass injections are only going to be exponentially growing and shifting our consciousness on this planet, which then rattles everybody's belief cages. And so this is going to be an ongoing process. So play with it and have some fun with it instead of being scared of it, is my thing.
Yeah. Go hug a tree. Go put your feet
in a tree. Yes. All right, everybody. Until next time, on behalf of us, thank you very much. And we'll see you soon. Cosmic hugs. Bye.